Shafts of lemon-gold brilliance lanced down to the forest floor between bars and pools of brown-green shade. And the light was never still, never constant, because drifting mist would often float among the treetops, filtering all the sunlight to a pearly sheen, and brushing every pine cone with moisture that glistened when the mist lifted. Sometimes the wetness in the clouds condensed into tiny drops, half mist and half rain, which floated downwards rather than fell, making a soft rustling patter among the millions of needles. There was a narrow path beside the stream, which led from a village, little more than a cluster of herdsmen's dwellings, at the foot of the valley to a half-ruined shrine near the glacier at its head, a place where faded silken flags streamed out in the perpetual winds from the high mountains, and offerings of barley cakes and dried tea were placed by pious villagers. An odd effect of the light, the ice, and the vapour enveloped the head of the valley in perpetual rainbows. The cave lay some way above the path. Many years before, a holy man had lived there, meditating and fasting and praying, and the place was venerated for the sake of his memory. It was 30 feet or so deep with a dry floor, an ideal den for a bear or a wolf, but the only creatures living in it for years had been birds and bats. But the form that was crouching inside the entrance, his black eyes watching this way and that, his sharp ears pricked, was neither bird